Good to see everyone this morning, and we're glad that everyone is here. We have a lot of illness, and we're missing so many of our number today, but we're here to study a very important subject, and that subject is going to start with that passage that we just read. Now, before we get into our lesson, I want to read just a report from the online Bible school, from the World Video Bible School. They send us monthly reports, and they come from around the world. Now, that's the blessing of the Internet. It can spread the gospel to anywhere the Internet is and someone has a phone or a computer. This is from Pakistan. Books are the best friend, and my best friend is the Bible. I like these Bible courses so much. This is from Kenya. Good lessons for transforming and equipping lives. From the United Arab Emirates. Thanks so much to the entire team of the school. Before I started studying with this school, I had always craved to learn the Word of God, but had no opportunity. The school is a blessing to me, and I will never be the same again. Glory to God. That's from a place called United Arab Emirates. I'm not even sure I could find that on the map, but the Internet goes there, and that's what's important. Right now, and there are some other comments from Canada and other places. Right now, the present enrollment is 11,193, and there are 58. Sometimes, 168 different countries. That's what I wanted to read. 168 different countries. So we're glad to be a part of that work, and we're glad to see you today. Now, we're going to be talking about being transformed today, and the transforming is a drastic change, a radical change. The passage that was read this morning is 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You know, that phrase right there makes me glad I'm a Christian, because that's what God says about Christians. They're a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Look at the drastic change. Out of darkness, I don't know anything more radically different than darkness and light. And that's what He says He's called us out of. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. There's a radical change from living by the principles of the world and living by the principles of the Bible. A radical change. And we're glad to be Christians to enjoy that radical change. Before we were Christians, we were not a royal priesthood. We were not a holy nation. We were not a peculiar people of God. We were people of the world. Ephesians 2 says that's being strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, having without Christ and having no hope in the world. If you live in darkness, you're not a Christian. You are living in darkness. You're living in a dangerous situation. You're without Christ. You're without God. You're without hope. You're without His forgiveness. Notice verse 10, which in times past were not a people. See the radical change? There's a radical change here when we become Christians. We were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That mercy is a very important element. If you're a transgressor, and everybody knows you're a transgressor, you need mercy. Somebody goes down to the courts of the land, and they're guilty, and they know they're guilty. They want mercy. They don't want justice. And so we're guilty, and we should know that. Now, that's what the Bible is about. The Bible is about changing people. It's about changing you, and it's about changing me. It's about changing people of every nation. Notice Titus chapter 2. That's what this passage is about. That's what the Bible is about. It's about changing us. Notice Titus 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Well, what is that grace of God that has appeared to all men bringing salvation? What does it do? Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that's darkness. That's the change that must come upon us. We must deny ungodliness. We must deny worldly lust. And then notice the change. We should live soberly. You can't go around doing drugs. You can't go around becoming somehow intoxicated. You can't do that. Why? Because the Bible says now, you see, there's a radical change. We were in darkness. We've been called out of that darkness into His marvelous light. What is that light? That light is living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Well, for what reason is that? Why are we doing that? Look at verse 13 of Titus 2. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity. And look at this. That's that radical change. Redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. There's that change. These things speak. That's what we're doing today. And exhort. We're doing that today. And rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now this change from darkness to light, this change from worldliness to godliness, from unrighteousness to righteousness, is brought about by this word right here. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15. This will change anybody's life. This will change a child's life as he's growing up. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. This word is for everybody. It's for grown folks. It's for little folks. That's why we have Bible classes for little kids. It's to change everybody. It's to change men. It's changes women. Everybody in here who's a Christian has been changed by the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Well, what is it profitable for? It's profitable for doctrine. That's what we're doing right now. We're teaching right now. We're teaching about the radical change that must happen in a person's life to be saved. To be saved. The glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming. And we better be saved when that day comes. And so we are changed by the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. This gives us the information and the knowledge that we need to change our lives. It's for men and women. It's for young and old. It's for teachers. It's for Bible class teachers. Bible class teachers must be changed. Deacons must be changed. Elders must be changed. Preachers must be changed. This book is for everyone. It's to change everyone's life. Now we have 4 points in our lesson today about being transformed. Number one, to be transformed according to the Bible's plan is a complete change. Everything in your life is to change. It is a voluntary change, number two. It is a continual change. And number four, it is an essential change. Number one, it's a complete change. Notice our passage that we read earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. It is a complete change from darkness to light. And as the reader read the passage this morning, I want to read a little bit further here. Where it says in verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. That's a part of that complete change. You are to abstain, and I am to abstain from fleshly lust, because a war can go on inside of you, and you can lose that war. And you can lose. You know, one of the saddest commentaries on someone's life is 2 Timothy 4:10 about Demas. Demas traveled with the Apostle Paul. He traveled with Paul, saw the miracles of Paul. He saw Paul laying his hands on people and imparting spiritual gifts. We were studying about that this morning. And yet, Paul said about Demas, this is the commentary on his life there in 2 Timothy 4:10. He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And so we're to have a complete change, a drastic change, and we're to maintain that change. And so we are to... You know, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, Watch this. This is 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. It says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's a complete change of your life. We can't hold on to some little pet sins. We can't hold on to some little things we like. We have to completely change our lives, and it's for our good. It's for our good. Look at Colossians chapter 1 as we talk about it being a complete change in our lives. In Colossians 1, love this passage. We need to love the Bible and love what it says. And it says in this passage, in verse 12, giving thanks, Colossians 1 and 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. That has made us fittingly to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. He's made it us acceptable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us. That means he's removed us. He's transfigured us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so we've been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. That kingdom is a kingdom of light. 1 John 1 and 5 says that God is light, and in him is no darkness. And so when we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, we've been translated into a kingdom of light. And so it is no wonder that the Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Well, what light is he in? He's in perfect light. In him is no darkness. 1 John 1 and 5. 1 and 7 says, if we walk in the light. What light? The same light he's in. If we walk in the same light that he is in, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so it is a complete change. When we become a Christian, we need to completely change our lives. About this time of year, people make these New Year's resolutions. And they'll say, no more sugar. No more candy. No more sodas, sweet sodas. No more of that junk food. You ever say anything like that the first year? Just going to eat vegetables. Just going to eat raw vegetables. Going to change. Going to change my life. Well, that's what this is about. This is about changing and resolving to change. No more worldliness. No more ungodliness. No more sinfulness. No more shadiness. I'm going to live godly. I'm going to live righteously. I'm going to do what his word says to do. And so as we're transformed completely, radically, drastically from darkness into light. But our passage of 1 Peter 2 says, verse 9, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He called you. He called you. We've all been called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 14. We've been called by the gospel. This is a voluntary change. It's a complete, drastic change from walking in darkness to walking in light. But it's something you choose to do. It's something you volunteer to do. God's not going to twist your arm. Jesus Christ is not going to come back down here and put a headlock on you and say, Uncle, give in to me. Do what I'm telling you to do. I'm going to force you to do this. No. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to call you by this word right here. Just like he has called all of us. And you must respond. And so it is a voluntary change. It's a complete, drastic change that you volunteer to do. And when you become a Christian, you do so because you say, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Christ. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. I'm not going to deny you for you. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and come and follow me. And so we have to do that. You know, when Joshua made that great challenge, I wish I could have been there on that occasion, where he said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods that your father served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So everybody chooses. He said that. God's given you the choice. You know, it's a shame that some people say, no, you don't have a choice. You're predestinated. You can't be saved if you're predestinated to be lost. That's a horrible doctrine. So we all choose to make the change. Now, one of my favorite passages, and so let's talk about that changing. Let's go to Ephesians 4. This is one of my favorite passages. I don't think you can make this passage any clearer. So what does it mean to change from darkness to light? Well, here it is. And it's something we all choose to do. Look at verse 20 of Ephesians 4. But you have not so learned Christ. You know, you're here learning about Christ because you've chosen to, aren't you? You know, if you didn't want to learn about Christ, you wouldn't be here. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, and as the truth is in Jesus. Now here it is. Here's how you change. That you put off concerning the former conversation or your former behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You got to change your mind. This is the book that'll do it. This is the book that'll change our thinking. When we read this book and it says, the wages of sin is death, and we find out that the death spoken of in Romans 6 and verse 23 is the lake of fire, Revelation 21 and 4, you know, when I heard those words, I said, I better be making some changes. And so I volunteered. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to be lost. I don't think you do either. We don't want to be cast into a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And so I chose to renew my mind and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, how do you do that? I love this passage because it makes it so simple. So what do you do to pass from darkness to light? Well, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It's a simple matter. When you pass from darkness to light, you say, I am not going to lie any longer. I'm not going to lie about anything. I'm going to tell the truth even if it hurts people's feelings. I'm going to tell the truth. That's what a person who's passed from darkness into light does. He puts away lying, and he begins to speak the truth to everyone. Look at verse 26. What else does he do? Well, he gets angry. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If I let the sun go down on my wrath, if I'm still angry when bedtime comes, sun's down, it's time to go to bed, and I'm still mad, I'm still in darkness. I've got to pass from darkness over into light. I've got to put that anger away. You know, anger only hurts you. Anger and hate and bitterness, it hurts you. It doesn't hurt anybody else but you. It may hurt someone else if you're miserable and you make other people miserable, yeah. But that's what it is. And then verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. And so if I pass from darkness into light, I've made a change in my life. I'm not going to let the devil get his foot in the door of my heart. He's staying out of my heart. And I'm not going to let him to get me to lying or get me to lusting or anything else. I'm going to keep the devil out of my heart. Look at verse 28. How do you keep the devil out of your heart? Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. What does it mean to pass from darkness into light? What is that radical change? Well, I give up stealing. And I do this, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And instead of becoming a taker, 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 and a getter, what does a Christian become? He becomes a worker and a giver. He becomes a giver. That's what he is. And then verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. There are somewhere between 19 and 21 ways to sin with your tongue. Lie, bear false witness, gossip, so forth and so on. But I can't do that anymore. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers, I'm going to speak good things. I'm going to give up griping and complaining and misery, and I'm going to speak good things, things that minister grace, that ministers favor to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm not going to do these things because it grieves the Spirit of God. And then verse 31, these are two of my favorite verses in all of this book. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. If I leave darkness, I leave that. That's not a person of God. You were not a person of God as long as you were in the darkness. Well, what did I do in the darkness? Well, you had bitterness. You had wrath. You had anger. You had clamor. You had evil speaking. But when you became a child of God, when you became a royal priest, a holy nation, you put those away, and notice what you did instead. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. You know what? You got to give that old hard heart up. You can't have a hard heart and be a child of God. Because this passage says you be a tender-hearted person. I'm sorry, but I cry sometimes. Even in making announcements, I'll cry sometimes. My heart's tender. I can't. This is the way it is. Forgiving one another. You know, if you want to hold a grudge, then you've moved back over there in the darkness. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What's our example? How are we to become forgiving and tenderhearted? Like Christ. Like Christ has forgiven us. Now, that passage goes on into chapter 5. But that's what we're talking about. That's what the Bible's talking about. It's a complete change. It's a total change. And it's a voluntary change. I volunteer to live my life the way the Bible instructs me to do. But it's also a continual change. We got to continue to do this. Notice in Romans chapter 6, we start this process when we are baptized. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says you become dead to sin when you're baptized. Notice this passage of Romans 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now, there's a reason why we die. We die to sin. We die to the practice of sin. Therefore we are buried by him into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Being a child of the light starts when we're baptized. We're buried with him. We're buried into his death. We're buried, and then when we rise up again, we rise to walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified. That means our old man dies. Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. The change in our lives happens when we obey the gospel, when we're baptized. We come up. And we say, I used to lie, I used to steal, I used to cuss, I used to get angry and break things, and I used to be bitter, but I don't do that anymore. When did you change? Well, when I was baptized. I was baptized for the remission of my sins. And when I came up, the Bible says I came up to walk a newness of life. The Bible says that's when I should put to death that old man of sin. I should crucify the old man of sin. But I want to read another passage with you, and from your Bible too, is 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, as we do this, as we make this change in our lives, we continue to work on it. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. This is written to Christians. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue means our faith comes from the Word of God. So we're to add to our faith. So we continue to do this. And to virtue, knowledge. Virtue is like a spiritual courage. That's what I call it, a spiritual courage, a spiritual strength. And to virtue, knowledge. I keep adding to my knowledge. I want to continue to study the Bible. It's something we keep working on. We put to death the man of sin, but we keep growing into the image of Christ. And to knowledge, temperance. And I know that I need to work on that temperance. That means self-control. And to temperance, patience. Boy, I need some more of that, I'm telling you. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. I need more of that too. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, and watch, and abound. I'm going to try to work, keep increasing these in my life. That they may make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. This is something we got to continue to work on every day. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence every day to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, these guys that drive these race cars, if they want to win the race, well, they're continually tinkering with those motors. After every race, they take it to the garage and they work on that thing some more. And they'll go buy $200 or $300 spark plugs. Let's say he had $100 pair of spark plugs in one race. Then he goes and buys another set, $200 spark plugs. And I said, "What? Why'd you do that?" "Because I want to improve this engine. I want to improve the performance of this engine. I want to win races. I want to keep beating everyone else." So he has to keep working on it. You know, these guys are just the Dallas Cowboys. They just finished that game last night. They'll be back lifting weights this week. Why? We want to get better. We want to get stronger. And so the Christian needs to continue work on his life, to improve his life, to get better. In Philippians 2 and 12 says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So the change that is to come over a Christian's life is a complete change, a radical change. It's a voluntary change. And as we change our lives, we continue to work on our lives. We continue to become more like Christ. He's our goal. 1 Peter 2 and 21 says that we're to follow in the steps of Christ. He's left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Well, he's perfect, and I'm not, but I'm supposed to continue to work toward that, work toward his image. But you know what? This is an essential. This change is essential in order for us to get to heaven. And so we can't like sell short and say, "Well, I think I can make it here without a complete change in my life. I think I can kind of partially change and still make it to heaven." No, this change, this complete change is essential. You know, the Romans evidently must have thought that they could continue to sin a little bit, because Paul asked this rhetorical question in the beginning of chapter 6 of Romans. He said, "Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound?" Evidently, somebody was saying, "Oh, yeah, well, when you sin, God's grace just piles up on you and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you just keep on sinning, and that grace will just keep on piling up and taking your sins away." And Paul quickly said, right after that, he said, "Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Absolutely not." You don't sin in your life. You know, I know we do occasionally. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, "Beloved, I write these things unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin," he knows. If any man, by the way, in chapter 1 of that same book, 1 John, he says, "If we say we have no sin, we're a liar. so we do. We have faults. We have mistakes, and we're working on it. Though I don't want to practice sin. Somebody says, "Oh well, you told a little lie. It's okay. God knows we're going to sin a little bit. So go ahead. Lie some more. Lie some more." Well, that's what Romans 6 is about. Shall we continue to sin? Continue means a continual practice of it, a habitual practice of it. Shall we continue to sin? God forbid. I don't want to sin. God hates it. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, he hates pride. He hates a lying tongue. He hates people who are running to mischief. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. You know why he hates those things? You know why he hates pride? You know why he hates a lying tongue? Because sin causes all the misery in this world. All the misery in this world. The abuse, the drunkenness, the divorce, the addictions, the prisons. You know why the prisons are full? Sin. You know why they don't want to let people cross that border undocumented? Because there's rank sinners coming in there. Sin causes misery in this world. That's why I ought to hate it, and you ought to hate it, as God hates it. And so it's no wonder that he hates it, when all the misery that it causes in the world. Now, wages of sin is death, the Bible says in Romans 6 and 23. And look over here to Revelation 21. Right here. Now, I think this is kind of, I wouldn't have written it like this, but God wrote it like this. In Revelation 21, look at verse 4. I love reading these words. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Oh, boy, we want to go there. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In this passage where God is talking about heaven and the bliss of heaven, look down to verse 8. Then he starts talking about hell. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, the murderers and the whoremongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their place or their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The wages of sin is death. Well, what's that? What's that talking about? Well, the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. It's an essential change. What we're talking about is moving over from darkness, because we've been called by the Word of God and beginning to live in the light of His Word, thinking the way He wants me to think, behaving the way He wants me to behave, speaking the way He wants me to speak, because He wants to save us in heaven. It's essential that we change. It's a voluntary change. It's something we continue to work on. And that's why we want to hear the Word of God, so it helps us to change. It is the instrument of change. The Word of God is designed to bring about the change in our heart that is good. Now, we're here because we want to go to heaven. We're here because we want to live the Christian life. And the Christian life is a life that is radically different from the ways of the world. God wants you to be separate. What fellowship hath light with darkness, he would say there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. What fellowship hath light with darkness? I want to get out of that darkness, and I want to get over into the light, which is the church, of course. And I want to stay in fellowship with my brethren, and I want to be there, because we all want to be in heaven together. And so let's realize what the Bible is wanting us to do, to make that good change, so that we can be pleasing unto God, so that we can live in heaven with Him forever and ever. I want to encourage you today. You've done the right thing. You've come to worship the Lord this morning. He's filled your life with blessings. Psalm 23 says, "My cup overflows." He's made your cup overflow. We're here today to show Him how we appreciate so much the blessings that He's given us. My car didn't break down one time this week. Air conditioned, heater worked. Blessings, blessings. Had plenty of food to eat. Blessings, blessings. Got clothes to wear. God has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. We owe Him our lives. We owe Him our thanksgiving. We owe Him worship. We need to adore Him. I encourage you for being here today, because this is the right reaction. He's given me so much. What should I do? Thank Him, praise Him, worship Him, honor Him. Now, have you made those changes in your life? You know, Demas, he changed and began to follow Paul, but he didn't stay there. He went back. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this departed, and he's loved this present world. Sometimes that happens to us. We love the world and we go back into the world. Come back, come back. On your own, volunteer to come back to Him today. He's been so good to you. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we read a moment ago, for as many of you that have been baptized into Christ, that's Galatians 3:27. Romans 6 and 3 says, know ye not that when we were baptized, we were baptized into His death, and we have been buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we should rise also to walk in a newness of life. That's what happens after we're baptized. We rise to walk in newness of life. Have you done that? Have you confessed Him before men and obeyed His gospel, His sweet gospel, His wonderful gospel that will make a new person out of you? If you haven't, we pray that you will as we stand and sing.